I've been trying to sing the national anthem for the Lakers for 3 years. In 2016, I got the call. Kobe Bryant had just announced he was retiring from the Lakers. My whole body was elevated. That memory from singer Ranella Ferrer. She's tonight's Voices of the People. Ranella,
yes.
Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. Even as you were announcing that, I felt goosebumps. I'm like, yeah, that really happened. It gave me memories back of like, wow. I really sing for the great Kobe Bryant and at his very last season, which was the reason that I pushed so hard to sing that year. I was like, oh my God, this is the last time I'm going to be able to sing the national anthem for Kobe Bryant for the Lakers and at the Staples Center. So it's like a triple dream come true.
Yeah. Well, you know, I love your Instagram posting because you really laid out the whole journey of coming from the Philippines, growing up there, applying to the Lakers to try to get in the door to sing the national anthem. You got turned down many years.
Ticketmaster. That's what I was like, what do I do to get to sing the national anthem? And people don't understand. Nobody taught me how to get to that level. I was like, well, let me just figure it out on my own. So I was trying to Google because at that time I didn't know who the proper people to contact. My music career was down the drain. I was 70 pounds heavier also.
We're going to talk about that. That's being on the reality show.
Yes. And then I was like, you know what? Let me just try this again. Well, I was in the middle of cleaning my apartment. Let me try it again. I heard Kobe like that. He was announcing that it was his last season. I was like, oh my God, I have to sing the anthem. I have to do it this year. Otherwise, I'm never going to have a chance to do it again.
Okay, so let me back up. Had you been singing the national anthem anywhere else, school?
I mean, when I was in, I've been singing the national anthem since I was a kid. And I was always like the person in the front, like orchestrating the whole class, but not to this level of professionalism to a major.
But you grew up in the Philippines.
Yes, I grew up in the Philippines. Even in the Philippines, I was singing the Philippine national anthem.
Gotcha.
Orchestrating the whole class, not just the class, but the whole the whole school, pretty much. On Monday, we would have like the Monday assembly.
So you had to learn the American national anthem.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So had you sung that before, the Lakers?
Not the Lakers, not to that level. I've sung it maybe one time or twice for like, you know, some event that they've asked me to do it for, or actually in high school. Matter of fact, that's another thing. I sang it in high school graduation. Yes. Mm-hmm. I sang the American National Anthem for the high school graduation. I said at the Twilight's Last Gleaming 3 times. I will never forget that.
Ooh, but was... That's okay. You're getting a phone call, girl. Maybe it's a
I'm
booking.
So sorry.
You can either turn the ringer off or you can take that call.
I am
you
so
tell me.
Sorry.
That's okay.
But yeah, so pretty much that was my last big chance to sing the national anthem was high school graduation.
Okay, I just got to clarify this. So you're in the Philippines and you're singing the American national anthem?
Yeah. Well, no. And I was in the Philippines singing the Filipino national anthem.
Gotcha.
So when I came to the United States, I pretty much started singing and people knew me as a singer already in high school. So they chose me to sing the national anthem for the high school graduation. And during the high school graduation, I was so nervous in front of, mind you, that at that time, how many people was that at the high school graduation?
This is your high school graduation?
Yes, my high school graduation, okay. Cerritos High School. And at the end of the day.
Okay, so here's what I'm getting to. You went to high school in Cerritos, California.
Yes.
Got it. See, I'm a reporter here. We dig deep till we get the answer.
Right, there you go.
Okay, so we're here at Fox 11 News in Los Angeles, just remembering Kobe Bryant. And I love all these great stories. So I saw your Instagram page. You posted about that. You now want to sing in front of the Lakers. Had you done a big event like that before?
No.
Oh, wow.
Never.
You said, here I come.
So, yes.
LA.
And I was so nervous. I think, honestly, out of all the nerve-wracking, whatchamacallit, performances I've ever had, that to me was the most memorable one because I was so nervous. I was in the bathroom. I remember there was 13 minutes prior to me getting on stage. They give you a time. You see the clock ticking down 13 minutes before you get on stage. I told my mom was sitting next to me. She looked at me. She was about to cry. Aww. I was like, please, not right now. Don't do it. Not right now.
How old were you?
I was 27.
Okay.
And at that time, I didn't know what to do because I was also 70 pounds heavier. I was already self-conscious of myself. Mm-hmm. I couldn't find the perfect outfit because normally I like bright colors.
If they could see you now in your bright pink with a bright matching pink headband and a fur coat.
Right.
Yeah.
So at that time, I was really so nervous to do that. And I ran to the bathroom and I remember facing the wall of the stall of the restroom. And I was like, it's about to go down. It's about to happen. I was like, wow, my dreams is about to come true. Not only am I singing for Kobe Bryant, plus, I was also listening to him as a motivational speaker on YouTube. And that's one of the reasons why it kept me elevated with my mental because of Mamba. I know like it sounds cliche, but it's literally like the Mamba mentality. How to work hard, keep going harder. If you don't get it this year, do it again next year. Be better than you were last year. And that's exactly how I try to live my life, even to this day. I will never forget that.
So we played a clip of you performing, and this was the Lakers versus the Utah Jazz in 2016. You've now played or sung before the Lakers, the Clippers, the Padres, the Chargers. Yeah. You're a veteran now of the American National Anthem.
Thank you.
But how did it feel to keep getting turned down?
In the beginning, yeah. I obviously was, you know, at that time, I also my motivation wasn't as strong. My self-esteem wasn't as high because, like I said, I was always self-conscious of myself. Because
but it takes
of the
a minute to build right. that confidence.
And imagine, like, from let's say what's the biggest I've ever sung for was like maybe 2,000-5,000 people to now you're in front of like 10,000-20,000 people.
Wow.
And not only that, plus on
deal.
Television, the people yeah. that's probably watching it all over the world who has the, you know, the who has that available for them. So that was really nerve-wracking for me. And, yeah. you know, each time I get in front of an audience, it's just like, I don't know. It's an adrenaline. I can't help it. I still get nervous, but I love it. Like, it's, I can't even
you
explain
channel
it.
Those nerves.
Yes, and I can't wait. Every time I watch, like, let's say sports or even football or whatnot or basketball, I look at the stadium. I'm like, man, I cannot wait to perform in front of that stadium.
Wow.
I can't wait to take over that stadium. That's what I think of in the back of my
Should
head.
Should we play another clip of it?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, to honor the United States of America, please rise, remove your hats for the singing of our national anthem this evening by Ranella Ferrer.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in the air, gave proof through the night that a flag was still there. Oh, say does that star's spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free? And the
so let's take us back to that point where you're on stage now.
Yes.
You're singing the national anthem.
Yes.
What do you look at when you're singing the national anthem?
Not myself, definitely, on the screen, because what they do is they focus on your face, and then you will see your face on the big screen. I try not to look at myself. I try to focus on the flag, and I just literally just black out. And hearing myself on the speaker, I try not to get caught off guard, because obviously the timing, you hear yourself echoing, people are like yelling, like woo, or whatever they you want to do, but it's just staying focused. And it's like I can't even explain it. For that 2 minutes that you're there, and the only attention of everyone in the stadium is you, not the announcer, not the basketball player, but for 2 minutes it's just you and your voice. It's such a different feeling of like I can't even explain it.
I couldn't do it.
I know.
I couldn't do it.
But you're in front of the world too. See, how can you not do it? Like you're it's the same thing with you. Think about it.
Well, for one, I don't sing.
That's true.
Girl, you're getting another phone call.
Sorry.
Ranella is getting yet another phone call.
May it be
a booking or a great date.
How about that one? It's my manager, but yeah. So,
do you want to message the manager?
Yes, know. I will. Definitely.
Okay, you take a second. I'll read more of your bio.
Okay.
Ranella's gonna message the manager and let the manager know we are
so
in
sorry.
Mid podcast. This is LA. When the manager calls, you got to get back. You never know what kind of booking it is.
Right.
But we're so excited to have Ranella Ferrer. She and I have known each other throughout, I think, recent years here in Los Angeles, and we bump into each other from time to time. So when I saw her postings on social media, I thought, what a great perspective to have somebody who was on the basketball court with the Lakers, with Kobe Bryant, but in a whole different perspective than really anybody else, because you're that one person. So we're going to talk about that. And also we should note that Ranella was on reality TV. Coincidentally, speaking of basketball and a connection, Khloe Kardashian's Revenge Body Season 1. And that's really a big part of her story as well. So we're going to get to that in just a little bit. But I want to stay with the Lakers and with Kobe Bryant right now, because I know that you continue to want to be a voice for other women when it
Absolutely.
Comes to body image. And you're
pursuing
always posting,
your
you're working out.
Yes, and eating still at the same time.
Well, you and me both.
And enjoying the life. I mean, to me, honestly, food is a part of life. And I'm just learning that it's all a balance, you know, and it is a lot to do with your stress level and awareness, and also how happy you are with yourself. Because I started almost gaining my weight back when I went through a breakup. And, you know, I think you noticed that, Christine, because you've always given me like great advices when it comes to like being a woman. And, you know, you've told me about this certain book. I still have to ask you about that.
Now we're talking relationships.
But, you know, at the end of the day, it's like it's emotional when it comes to weight gain. A lot of people do gain weight through emotions.
So let's go back to that 2016. You're singing the national anthem for the Lakers for the first time. You're concerned then, because you wrote about this, that you're concerned then about your image and body.
Yeah, absolutely. Because obviously, like, you know, when you are in front of the audience, People didn't know that I gained 70 pounds. So I was embarrassed to take photos. I was not used to wearing triple X clothing. Yeah. And at that time, I was used to being medium or small. And even in LA, obviously, image is a lot of things. Like, image is everything. As a singer, too. You know, in my mind, I was like, I need to be skinny. I can't dance as great as my dancers anymore. I can't move around without showcasing, like, you know, my skin or whatnot. Obviously, I was self-conscious and not really realizing that my voice, I still had it. I never lost it. And that's another story, because when I sang the national anthem that night, I was so motivated to get back into singing again. That same night was how I found Revenge Body by Khloe Kardashian, the listing. And I submitted myself. I took 3 to 4 hours, submitting myself on the application. And that same night that I sang the national anthem, I was like, well, what's next for me? I saw the listing for Revenge Body and I submitted myself. And then the rest was history.
What a night.
Right. What a night.
Okay.
Yes.
So take me there, because you know I don't sing. I can't imagine being in front of that kind of crowd with all eyes on you. Do you actually see the players? Do you look at the players?
Yes. You know, the first time, the first time I did that, I remember I saw... whatchamacallit, who were the players at that time? I mean, obviously, all I knew was Kobe. Most of the, you know.
You did know of Kobe before?
No. I'm saying all I knew or who was I was aware of, because I don't watch a lot of sports, unfortunately. But the ones I was aware of was like the biggest players. And Kobe was obviously the biggest player at that time. So I saw him, and he was also giving out Kobe jersey to everyone that attended that game. But I blocked myself because I'm like, okay, obviously I'm nervous. So at the end of the day, I was like, okay, what am I going to do? I just have to, I can do this. Why am I doing this? All this stuff is going through my head. Like, why did I do this to myself? Why do I do this to myself? I'm like, why do I do this to myself? But you know, I was like, I think I just stopped and prayed, and I was like, okay, I can do this. Because if I can do this, I can do anything. This is the moment that I've been waiting for. And so
over the years, did you ever actually get to meet Kobe Bryant?
No, I didn't. All I know is he heard my voice, and that's all that mattered to me. And I was like, yes, I sang for him. No, I never got to meet him. I saw him from a distance. He was warming up, and that was it. Even when I do the national anthems every time, unless they talk to me, I don't really talk to them, because to me, I'm like, okay, I'm already nervous. I don't really want to be. Even the last time I opened up for the Lakers this year for 2019-2020, I saw LeBron. I didn't see Kobe, but I saw Denzel. When I saw Denzel sit down, that's when I got nervous.
Hollywood.
I was like, oh my God, I'm about to sing in front of Denzel. I mean, I saw
Denzel
LeBron.
Washington, yeah.
Yes, and you know, because before, when you do sound check, you see the ball players practicing. Sometimes you sing in front of them. So that's when I get nervous. I'm like, okay, I just sung for LeBron, even though it was sound check. And I see Steph Curry right there. That's sound check. I'm done. I already tackled that. But when you see new people that you recognize, sometimes I don't even want to know who's around me,
right?
Because I get more nervous.
So thinking back to that game, where were you standing on the court to sing the national anthem, and where was Kobe Bryant?
Kobe Bryant was pretty much, I believe, they were in front of me. They were lined up in front of me. All the Lakers players were lined up in front of me. I had to go right in the middle. Where the Lakers logo was at, and the spotlight was just on me, and everything else around me is pretty much just dark, and you kind of just like black out and you just focus. And then I just looked at the flag and I was like, here we go, it's about to go down. A minute and 30 seconds, let me do as much as I can. And
so as a singer, you love to sing.
Absolutely.
Do a lot of national anthem events. But not the biggest sports fan, but you knew Kobe Bryant. What did you know of Kobe Bryant then?
You know, all I know is Kobe Bryant was one of the greatest players at that time. And he was about to retire. And, you know, he was being compared to multiple athletes. But my understanding is at that time he was not just a legendary player, but he was the best player. But obviously, everyone would try to compare him to other great players, because there are great players out there that are respectable and that has created a name in the NBA. But Kobe Bryant was the best player at that time. And, you know, to me, to be able to sing, the first time to sing the biggest national anthem for my career and for his last season, that was an honor in itself.
Did you realize that at the time, or as you're looking back now, did it really hit you?
You know, honestly, I don't think I really realized it at that time. I'm realizing it now, day by day. Even as you were announcing it when you were introducing me, I got goosebumps when you said that. I was like, wow.
I was just reading your Instagram posting, what you posted around the time of the helicopter crash.
Right, I did. And yeah. I remember exactly where I was sitting. I think everybody remembers where they were when they heard that Kobe passed. I was sitting in my truck on my way to the Fit Expo, about to enjoy my day to, you know, to see some muscles. And I was in my truck, and one of my best friends texted me and this link that Kobe passed. I was like, this is a joke. So I was like, before I say it to anyone else, let me Google his name. And I Googled his name. And sure enough, it says Kobe Bryant died in a fatal accident, with a helicopter accident. I was like, what? My heart just dropped. My heart just dropped. I was like, what? No, no, no. And I was like, somebody tell me this is a joke. And, you know, I almost did not go to my engagement, but I had to be there. And later on, when I found out that there was a part, I don't know what it was, but there was a part of me that felt like I have a feeling his daughter is with him. Because for the past few months, I've been watching Kobe. He's always with his daughter. Mm. And those are Gianna. The last times that I've seen. Yeah, Gianna. God bless her. Oh, my God. What a talent. And those are the last times I've seen him on television or, you know, for them to even announce him that he's around. He was always with his daughter.
Because you did other Laker games.
Yes. And there was a part of me that felt like I have a feeling he's with her because I was aware that he's always riding around with her or accompanying her to different basketball games. And there was just this part of me that I felt like, okay, he was with his daughter. And I think that, you know, when they told us that the daughter was with him, my heart just got crushed. And I was like, I felt so bad for his wife. Obviously, you know, I can just imagine the heartbreak that she's feeling once she heard that. I'm not sure if that, you know, at the end of the day, like I said, it's just a sad story because everyone who I've told this to, even when I was at the Fit Expo, you could see the whole vibe. We were at this, you know, at the LA Convention Center. So next door to us, you know, there was commotion going on already and people, you know, were already paying their tribute to Kobe. And you could just feel the whole energy of everyone was just like sad, somber, like, you know, I can't believe Kobe. This is what happened to Kobe. It's like.
So if people aren't in Los Angeles, just to paint a picture, the convention center is downtown, pretty much right next to the Staples Center.
Right.
So you're at this big Fit Expo with thousands of people.
From all over the world.
Yeah, coming in to be part of this convention or this conference.
Yes.
You all get this news and you could feel the weight in the room.
You could feel the weight in the room. Absolutely. Walking around there, you know, it's the fitness expo and people are adrenaline, energy, and, you know, it's all this workout classes. People are supposed to be energized. And I could just tell that everyone was just really sad, even as we were leaving the parking lot. There was such like a major traffic and it was Grammy weekend. There was an awards happening next to us, which was at the Staples Center. So it was just a very sad moment. I mean, sometimes even looking back to this date, it's like, or even just thinking about that whole incident, it's very sad. Like the way
it
happened.
Terribly sad.
Because I don't know if any other death of a celebrity or a legendary person that we know worldwide has created this much effect to everybody.
Yeah.
And it makes you think about like how much light that person had to be able to share to the world. I'm just sharing my light to 30,000 people in front of me. Imagine that someone to that magnitude, I can just imagine and like how much he gives himself to the world.
Did you remember seeing Vanessa and the girls at the basketball games?
No, I don't. I don't remember seeing Vanessa and his daughters at the games at all. Mm-hmm. But I just remember seeing Kobe. He was right there in front of me. And I think, I'm not sure if it was him, but like I said, I was so focused while I was singing the national anthem. But I remember I hit a couple of notes. It was his teammate. I forgot his name. I'm so bad at this. It was his teammate. I hit a couple of notes, and I think he looked at his teammate and look back at me like, did you really hit that note? And then look up again at
what
the flag.
Part of the song would that be?
It was "In the Rockets Regular." Like I just, you know, when the song starts going high, I made sure the whole stadium was like ringing, and I could tell they just looked back at me like, what did she just? Wow, she just hit that note.
So what a special moment now as you look back. Few of us can say they have that memory that you have.
Yeah. It's very humbling. Sometimes I don't realize like what I really do. It's, you know, I'm sure as you are, like you're a legendary host here in Los Angeles.
Been on the air for a minute here as a news anchor in Los Angeles.
I'm just saying like a lot of people respect you for what you do and your work and your talent and your beauty and admire you. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's like you don't realize how much you affect people because you're just so focused on the job at hand and your purpose of what you do that you don't realize, oh, wow, these people are actually, you know, are being affected by the positive energy that
you
are.
I think that could be true
sharing.
For a lot of people. We don't know how we touch. And I always say you only have to touch one person.
Right.
But my thought is, I went down to look at the memorial, to walk around and see the makeshift memorial that had been set up by people who just came by to show their basketballs, their tennis shoes, their shirts, their flowers. Did you go down and see it at all?
No, I haven't. Yeah. Unfortunately, I haven't. I haven't really had time to go downtown LA. But during that time, what I wish I would have done is when I was there is I would have like, you know what, let me just park my car instead of going, because I was also going to another Grammy event. Because, you know, mind you, as a musician, I had to go to a Grammy event.
And it's a big night, lots of parties,
yes,
people
lots,
going out.
Yeah. And even then, honestly, I left the convention center for the Fit Expo. And I didn't even go anywhere. I think inside I was a little depressed. I was like, oh my God, Kobe just passed away. I didn't want to do anything until later on that evening. I didn't even go to, you know, the Grammy party or anything like that, because I think everyone was a little sad. And I was a little sad because, like I said, as you guys know, I was on Revenge Body. And also part of the reason, when I was on Revenge Body, I would get on the treadmill, lose weight, to get my mind off of the pain of the workout, I would start listening to podcasts. I would start listening to motivational speakers on YouTube and watch them. And one of my favorite ones is Kobe's motivational speaking. I would put on my headphones. I would get on the treadmill and he would just tell you to, you know, you got to do work, do the work. You got to be the best and not just do your best, but be the best. You know, and that's what I always have aimed to do. I'm like, okay, well, if I'm going to do something, might as well be the best of this particular category as much as possible, as much as I can.
That's just so interesting to me that, I mean, coincidentally, you used his tools to motivate yourself.
Right. It's like that. Those little things affect you. And even listening now to more things that people have posted about him, that I'm learning that he said that I forgot that he said, or may have missed that he said, like brick by brick. It is true. When you are working towards something, it is brick by brick, meaning every day you just got to work on it every day. You can't get from point A to Z from today till tomorrow. You have to do A, B, C, D, E. So you have to do everything, you know, each step and never skip a step to success. And that's one thing that I appreciate about him. He was really, truly a champion. And that's the reason why he is where he is, because of his work ethic. And I can just imagine, I wish I would have just, I mean, I'm just grateful that I experienced that energy around him during that time.
So being on that show, how was it to be on reality TV?
Oh, geez, I was so scared. Well, I mean, honestly, it just allowed me to be myself, which is a great thing, because, you know, I don't know about other reality shows, but this particular reality show was really real. Like, you don't really get to see your trainer until you're on camera. You know, they may tell you, okay, what outfit are you wearing? They ask you what outfit you're going to wear the day before, whatnot, and you just don't know where you're wearing it to.
So people who don't know what the show is, Revenge Body, it aired?
January 2017.
And where did it air?
E-Network. Yes.
And Khloe Kardashian was the host. We know the Kardashian family. This was
absolutely
her show,
right?
Revenge Body, to get people in shape.
Right, exactly. Because during that time, like I said, I gained 70 pounds and it halted my singing career. You know, I was very self-conscious. I didn't want to perform because I was embarrassed. I didn't want people to take a picture of me because people didn't know that I gained 70 pounds is a lot from being a skinny girl. I just thought that I was going to be sexy forever, but you don't realize you have to work out.
I thought
out.
I was going to be young forever. What happened?
You still look young. You still look great.
Trust me, a little more tired.
So I didn't realize that I had to actually, you know, age was going to catch up with me, that if I eat these chips that I would have to walk it off or eat this ice cream or fried food. And I just literally just, you know, started eating and eating, and I gained 70 pounds. And then the experience that I had with Revenge Body, first initially, I didn't want to do it because I thought it was going to be a competition where people were going to be like going on, you know, the tires and jumping around and jumping jacks. It wasn't. I was like, I can't do that. Nope. I am not jumping over anyone's tires. I'm not doing that. First of all, I don't really work out. I hike wearing cute clothes at that time. But, you know, I didn't really realize how serious fitness was. I didn't even know what it meant to be fit for, like, as a lifestyle. I didn't know what lifestyle meant. I mean, what do you mean, like, it's a lifestyle? Like, what do you mean? When does it end?
Right.
No, it's a lifestyle. Like, you work out forever. I was like, oh, what? Yeah. I work out forever?
Yeah.
So I'm still, you know, even learning all that right now. And so during the whole Revenge Body thing, I didn't even want to post the video when I sang for the Lakers because that's another thing. I was embarrassed for people to see how heavier I got. And I didn't really post it that much. I would show angles. I would show pictures. I even had this the skinny app to make myself look skinny because I would take a screenshot of the video to make myself skinny to whatever I posted.
But now are you comfortable with it?
Oh, absolutely.
This is part of the story that you tell. You want to be a voice for other women.
Right. No, absolutely. Uh-huh. Right now, because at the end of the day, I'm actually even showing them, okay, my schedule got busier. I don't work out all day, every day anymore as much as I used to. I'm traveling. I am also, going to do like social activities. And at that time, I was deprived on purpose because I was so focused that I didn't want to go out. I didn't even want to, you know, smell food. I didn't want to go to the malls. I don't eat hot dogs, but I smell the hot dog. I want to eat it.
Right.
You know, because you're in such a very, strict
that's
diet.
Me. If it's in front of me, it's like, that's a temptation. I might not buy it myself, but if you put it in front of
you,
me,
exactly.
That's a problem.
Yeah. And I love food. So, you know, it's not, I don't have that same comfort anymore. So now it's like I'm showing people, okay, this is how we do it while we're busy. We're all busy. Yeah. And this is how we do it now when you're traveling or when you have more gigs or when you're off of work. What do you do? How tired you are? How much energy you still get? You know, I still believe in drinking a gallon of water keeps the fat away. And that's one thing that I still try to do as much as I can. But I don't have the, I don't have the capability to drink a gallon of water all day, every day. What if you're on a road trip and you can't drink a whole gallon of water? You're going to keep stopping from having to use the restroom.
That's like me for a newscast. I do my water up until a certain point in time, then we cut it off because you got to get through a whole hour of news.
Exactly.
So I got to ask you, since we're talking about the reality show, how was it to meet Khloe Kardashian?
That's another thing. A lot of people ask me that question because they're like, oh my God, it's Khloe Kardashian. I was so nervous. I saw him from far away. Like I said, it's reality. So you don't really talk to them until you're on camera. Mm. So we met each other on camera. I saw her from far away. And you know what? Her energy was so humble that my nervousness went away. And she made me feel so comfortable. She went to my level. That's what I feel like she did. She went to my level of comfort. Like, it's going to be all right. Don't be nervous. You're fine. And, you know, and that's my memory of her. She's very sweet, but she's real. I mean, I had more interaction with her more than once, obviously, after that show. And, and she's very proud of what we've done for ourselves and what we've done with the show and how we've motivated other people. But all I can say is, like, she's really real when it comes to motivating you. I mean, people can say what they want, but, you know, energy does not lie.
Were you a fan of the Kardashians? Did you watch that show?
Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah. Like, actually, I used to watch the Kardashians, especially falling asleep, because I knew that at the end of the day, like, I wouldn't, I used to, like, living on your by yourself as a woman, that's kind of like looking into the fashion world and, the beauty and stuff like that.
Well, you're of the generation to watch that show.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I watched here and there different episodes. And I caught up with keeping up with the Kardashians because in the beginning I was like, oh, no, I don't really want to watch a reality show. But you know what? At the end of the day, if you look at it right now, the beauty industry, we have the Kardashians have made the beauty industry bigger than what it used to be. I mean, in my opinion, obviously, that's what made me aware of the beauty industry more so than I ever was before. You know, so even down to the fashion, you know, sometimes I look at them, okay, what are they wearing right now that's actually of style? What can I wear that will be relevant to, to what's in style right now to the public? Sometimes I watch Kim's, outfit recently, like for the Oscars. I was like, oh, that's really pretty. And, you know, so I just look at that to keep myself up to date because we get so caught up in our busy world then. What do you look at to, for motivation or,
So you're living your life, you're maintaining your balance when it comes to the health, you're maintaining the working out, you're still singing.
Yes.
What was the last gig? Last big gig.
Oh, the last big gig. Which one? Hold on. I'm trying to think. The last biggest gig, I would say December, because I put a halt on things right now because I'm currently focusing on new music. I won an award in December for Outstanding Filipino Americans of the United States, mm-hmm. and for entertainment and as a singer. And then I performed, again, the Filipino National Anthem and the Star Spangled Banner. Oh, wait, did I? Oh, no, I did the Chargers also. I'm sorry. Wait.
She's got a busy calendar, people.
So I also did the Chargers. This one, I sang God Bless America for the Chargers game. I did that after I won the award.
So tell me the difference between singing at a basketball arena versus a football game that was outdoors, right?
Oh, my goodness. So the NFL is a bigger stadium, and it's also open. So it's a little bit more different with the sound. You have to make sure that you're really focused with that one. And, you know, as far as you hearing yourself singing, you're singing through the crowd. This is a bigger crowd than an NBA game. NBA games, I would say, like, the biggest one is what? Like 20,000? Maybe?
I'll go with that guess.
So let's say a stadium for football is about 30,000, 40,000, 50,000. It could be to 70,000, 80,000, right? So it's a little bit more, not harder, but it's a little bit more, what's the right word?
Different?
Different. It's different, yes. Yeah. And you have to adjust yourself more so and focus more just because of the stadium and it's so open.
Okay, so what's the dream?
For this, I would say sing at the Super Bowl one day.
Wow. I should get your autograph now.
No.
From your lips to God's ears.
I would love to sing for the Super Bowl one day. And not just do, I mean, obviously right now, you know, I love singing the national anthem for the biggest stadiums of the world. But I really want, I mean, that's why I'm doing music, so I can do half times too.
Yeah. Do you ever go back to the Philippines?
Of course. Yeah. I have to. My dad is over there. Oh. My dad visits. Yeah.
He must be so proud.
Yeah, so proud. He's so proud. And he's, wow. You know, the funny thing is before I sing the anthem or before I start singing, sometimes we'll Facebook chat each other and I'll call him on the video. Like when I sang the anthem for the Lakers this season, I was sitting courtside and I called him and I was like, Daddy, what do I do? And then he'll just tell me some advice. Okay, you need to make sure you pronounce your words. And, you know, he will just give me an advice right before I get on stage. But when he gets a little bit too much, I'm like, okay, Daddy, I love you. I gotta go.
That's super sweet. Mm. All right, where do people find you on social media? Instagram.
It's Ranella Rocks, R-A-N as in Nancy, E-L-L-A-R-O-C-K-S.
So that's Ranella Ferrer at Ranella Rocks.
Yes.
Okay, we'll look you up there. Thank you. Why don't you give me a final thought on Kobe Bryant or what you would want his children, his daughters to know, the surviving daughters to know mm-hmm. about him?
As far as Kobe Bryant goes, like I said on a post that I had, one thing I've learned from him is not just doing your best or trying to working hard and focusing, but actually being the best at with whatever category you choose to do. And you get what you put in, and you actually really have to work hard. You can't just think that, okay, I'm going to work on this right now, and tomorrow I'll be the winner or the champion. I mean, maybe that could happen. However, there's still more work to be put in. You have to be completely ready physically, mentally, spiritually, and there's so much focus. Observing how he worked, his work ethic, he had so much focus on the win, and I think his mind was so elevated beyond the average. That's the reason why he was able to attain the things that he attained. He really believed that he was the champion. And if he didn't achieve it this year, okay, next year, this is the goal. And he stuck to his goals. And one thing I would say to his daughters is you had such a great, powerful father. And we thank you for sharing his presence to the world, because I'm sure there's also sacrifices that the family has gone through. The fact that on holidays, he's sharing himself to us, to the world, not just to basketball fans, but to the world away from his family. We thank you for those sacrifices that you had mm-hmm. to be able to share your father to us, because he was such a great example of what a human being was that look at the impact that he created to the world.
So this person that you've never met mm-hmm. so moved you, such a big part of your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. as far as motivation-wise goes, as far as hard work and ethic, work ethic goes, which I'm very big on, I really admire him, and I wish I would have been able to look at him dead in the face and say, thank you. That's all.
That's a beautiful way to end the podcast, Voices of the People. I think we should maybe leave off with a little more of your vocals and one of your songs.
Absolutely.
Okay.
This is for you.
Do you actually want to sing for us?
Oh, yeah. Do you want me to sing?
Right now. Yeah. Yes. I would love it.
This is one of the songs I'm working on. And this is also dedicated to Miss Christine Devine. Powerful. I'm in control. Beautiful. In every sense of the word. It's not arrogance. It's confidence. I know what I'm worth. I know who I am. And can't nobody gonna tell me any different. Set my own trend. I'm my own brand. I do it with class. I'm timeless. Set my own rules. Wrote my own book. And I believed in the queen I am. The queen I am. The queen I am is inside of me. And that's it.
Wonderful, Ranella Ferrer. Thank you so much. And that's why you're singing the national anthem in front of the NBA.
Thank you so much.
All right, thanks for coming on.
I'm going to fly with you tonight.
We leave you with the song Wings as we take a moment to honor all nine on board that helicopter that crashed in Calabasas, California on January 26, 2020, on the way to Kobe Bryant's Mamba Academy. Those names are John, Alyssa, and Carrie Altabelli, Sarah and Peyton Chester, Christina Mauser, Ara Zobayan, Kobe Bryant, and his daughter Gianna. Anyone wishing to donate to funds set up for the families can donate to mambaon3.org. Wings is by singer Tim Johnson Jr. We'll hear his story on another episode of this podcast series, Voices of the People, Kobe Bryant Remembered.
You give me wings to fly, oh fly, higher, higher, and I won't fly with you tonight, tonight, with the wings of wings, with the wings of wings.
I fly
up the sky with the butterflies. Up there, we can do anything, we don't have to worry about a thing. We don't have to worry about it.